Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And a Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist.
It is 6:37, top of the morning to you. I'm Mike Ferguson in for Mark Cox. And you can't even really say it's the great Corona mask debate, because there's like 10 of them. But what we can all agree on is that you're doing something that means you hate me and want me to die. Can we just agree on that? Is that because that's basically where we're at?
Man, I wish that wasn't the case.
And you know what can solve all of our problems is government making top-down decisions, regardless of what we know about the coronavirus now.
Obviously.
Or in the future. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. Maybe we should talk to a doctor about this.
That's a great idea.
Let's do that. Dr. Randy Tobler. Hey, Randy, good to talk to you again.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I mean, obviously I've got a different experience than a lot of people with this whole thing, but I'm just fascinated, and not just your perspective, you know, as a fellow host here on the radio show or on the station, but as a medical professional, as a doctor, seems to me we can't separate out the two discussions. One, who should wear a mask? Who maybe doesn't need to? Is it a good idea? Is it not? How much risk? That set of questions versus, do we need the president or the governor or the mayor or the county executive to issue orders and say whether you need it or not, or whether you want to or not, these are the rules, you're going to do it, and then you've got all the social anger and shaming and yelling at each other in grocery stores and things like that. And it seems like it's just become so complicated and so much more of a tribal mess than anything like this ever should be, because we're just losing our minds.
We are taking our corners, aren't we? I mean, it's amazing how this is happening today. And you know, it's funny, I'm sort of conflicted on this whole thing, because being a conservatarian myself, a very libertarian-leaning conservative, I'm always about personal freedom. But as we all know, one of the great virtues and founding principles of this country, and I think of generally good living, is the responsibility that comes with freedom. And there's a couple of issues here. One is, you know, is it a good idea to wear a mask, at least in certain situations? And the other is, does the government have any right telling us that? Mm-hmm. And in a way, I sort of look at it like a motorcycle helmet argument, you know? I think if a person is privately insured, and if a person, really doesn't want to take any kind of responsibility with social distancing or trying to watch what they're doing, realizing there's probably minimal, at the same time, limited efficiency of masks, especially from preventing you from getting something from someone else. They're much, if they're going to be efficient, it's more efficient as a source preventer from outgoing germs. Mm-hmm. But, I've always said, like, for the motorcycle helmet argument, if you show me that you've got insurance so that if your head becomes a smashing pumpkin without a motorcycle helmet and you're on, you know, life support for the rest of your life in an ICU because you're a vegetable, essentially, as long as you have private insurance to pay for that, go for it, man. Don't put on your helmet. If you're asking me to pay for it and you're on the public dole, that's a different story, you know. That said, one of the myths about the whole mask argument is that they talk about, a lot of the naysayers on mask wearing and say that they're not efficient will point to the efficiency of, for instance, N95 masks, the very important ones for healthcare workers and others who are really concerned about preventing incoming germs. And for that matter, surgical masks and others, When scientific tests are done on those that are often quoted in articles that say they're inefficient, those tests are done at flow rates of like 80 to 90 liters per minute of the airflow. And they show that, well, it really doesn't it doesn't impact and doesn't filter out particles less than 0.3 microns. And well, the virus particle is 0.1 microns. So there you go. They're not effective. Why wear them? Well, the problem is normal breathing and normal speech patterns are between 10 and 30 liters per minute. So the test circumstances are much, much more, you know, there's a lot more airflow. And so the efficiency is probably more wearing them in real life circumstances than in a laboratory. Sort of like, you know, they say that some chemicals are carcinogenic. Well, yeah, if you take them at, you know, they give them to mice at a dose 10,000 times whatever human being would do. Well, does that make it carcinogenic in a human? Same kind of thing. Test conditions are not real life conditions.
So what about the idea then, Randy, about if the goal is we want more people to wear masks, or at least people who are more at risk of wearing masks, the government orders are setting people into, like your term, in the corners, and they're taking up their corners. So what's the most effective way to convince more people to wear a mask seems to me to be the most common sense question. And if one of your patients comes in, they're consulting with you, and you say, I think it's a really good idea that you do this, that's going to be a lot more effective than Lidocruisin saying, do what I say because I said so.
Right. Well, here's what we do. Here's what we do at the hospital. And here's why I ask all of the people of the hospital that I lead to do it. We wear our masks out and about in town, and we ask people to do that. When visitors or patients come in our doors, we don't know if they're infectious or not. They could be asymptomatically infected. And we ask everyone, we give everyone a mask at the door, and they say, hey, welcome to our house. At our house, we take the shoes off when we, that's the same analogy. Some people have their, at our house, for instance, Mike, if you come to my house, you don't have to take your shoes off. But most people's houses I go to, especially nice houses, take your shoes off. Well, in my house at the hospital, we wear a mask and we hold one another accountable. And so we just ask that people do that. Now, we haven't had any terse situations where people are just mean-spirited and, you know, yelling and we have to go into corners. We always think if you lead by example and realizing that, hey, the mask is not 100% guaranteed either way, okay? That said, there is some protection. There is some level of protection. And we know that reducing the viral load that a person is exposed to, whether you're concerned about getting it or whether you're concerned about giving it, reducing the viral load, which is all that a mask can do, is an important thing. If you get one droplet with some of my coronavirus in your respiratory tract as opposed to 10 droplets, depending on your immune susceptibility and other factors, your innate non-specific immunity to the virus, you may or may not actually be able to handle the virus and never get sick. Okay? So that's why I think it's important to set an example, educate, make sure that Lidocruisin is always wearing her mask. If she's going to say that, and only take it off if she's, you know, relatively distanced in a press conference or someone else to where people can hear her. I mean, there's a common sense aspect to this too. But at the bottom line, am I for mandating it and taking people to jail and so forth? No, I'm not. I think it's a good idea in certain circumstances? Yeah. When I'm around older folks, sicker folks, namely my patients, or they are around me and potentially they're sick and don't know it yet, aren't symptomatic, I ask them to wear a mask just the same way I do. So it's a common sense respect kind of a thing. And I wish we could translate that to the discussions about this too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing, is that's not a really complex level of nuance. I mean, that's you don't have to be a PhD to understand what you just said, but yet we scream and yell at each other regardless of what your opinion is on this. And I'm more fascinated by that than I am the discussion of the actual pieces of cloth or plastic or whatever it is you want to put on your noggin.
Yeah. And I agree. If I own a restaurant, it's sort of like the smoking. I hate the outlawing of smoking in public, especially in private places. Okay. Right. If it's a place where the public has to go, like I've got to go to get my license renewed. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be, you know, submitted to smoking because I don't have any other choice. Okay. On the other hand, if Mike and Randy decide to own the Cigar and Camel Smokers of America's restaurant and hangout,
let's do it.
We ought to be able.
Uh-oh.
And then if Denise and Tricia want to open up the absolutely no smoking organic put on your Birkenstocks when you eat here kind of a place. Go for it. Let the market rule. No one forces anyone to either work in that place or attend the smoking place and vice versa. So it's a matter of the market ruling and people making choices and being responsible and, yes, respectful at the same time.
Totally, 100%. Absolutely agree. Randy, I know it's a little bit early, but we know what we're looking forward to on your show on Saturday.
Always love it. Hey, thanks for thanks for doing Mark's show. Love being on with you, man.
All right, appreciate it. Randy right. Tobler, you can hear him Saturday morning, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.